and to be a part of a wonderful lectureship, as you always have, for over the years. Much good has been accomplished by these lectureships, not only in the tapes that the Tullers have provided, but by other means as well. And now the lessons are to be put on internet and distributed in various parts of the world. I too appreciated the very fine lesson that we had the hour before by Brother Bright on Matthew chapter 24, a lesson that is certainly needed today in the religious world, and one that was well given. We appreciate his good work, and I know that you will profit by the study of God's Word this week. The general theme has been announced as "Then Cometh the End," from the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul's statement concerning the Lord's coming again and the resurrection, and then comes the end. Tonight we want to think for a few moments about heaven, that eternal home of the soul. Perhaps a familiar reading would be John chapter 14. Also Jesus said prior to his leaving, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Twice Jesus talked about that place, and that you will be with me where I am. We think of it as heaven, the eternal home of the soul. Christians are in hope of eternal life. That's what the Apostle Paul said in writing to Titus, as we read in the very first chapter of the short epistle. In hope of eternal life, all of us are. The Scriptures talk about heaven in Revelation chapter 21 and the first five verses of chapter 22. We have John's description of heaven. Certainly symbols are used, symbols of speech. And it's impossible for us here upon this earth to fully grasp, I think, the joys, the beauties, and the glories of heaven. But enough has been said to cause us to want to go there forever and forever. And as was mentioned in this morning's lesson, there are only two roads to travel, and two destinies. If we do not reach heaven when this earthly life is over, then the other place, eternal damnation or hell, will be ours. I want to go to heaven. You want to go to heaven. We want to preach and teach the Word of God and encourage people to love the Lord and do the Lord's will, that when this earthly life is over, they will go to heaven. The Bible teaches that we're going to die one time, most of us will, unless we're living when the Lord comes again. In Hebrews 9, it's stated, pointed on the man who wants to die, and after this comes the judgment. And the judgment day is coming, and at the judgment, the assignment will be made by the Lord, either enter into eternal life or depart into everlasting punishment. In Matthew 25, the Lord closed that conversation as it was continued from chapter 24, to talk about when the Son of Man shall come, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he'll separate them the one from the other, just like a shepherd dividing the sheep from the goats. And he'll place the righteous on the right-hand side and say to them, finally, "Enter thou in the joys of thy Lord." And then to those on the left-hand side he will say, "Depart." And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. All of us are going to be up to judgment. Man is created in the image of God. We are eternal beings. We will never cease to exist. And I will still be I, and you will still be you, me, in eternity. And physical death does not change our characters. If we live a bad life, a moral life, and die in that condition, so shall we be after we leave this physical body. The body is but the house, the tabernacle, in which the real man lives or dwells. And the Apostle Paul said to Christians in 2 Corinthians 5, we know that if this earthly house of our tabernacle be dissolved, we have a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heaven. That's the immortal, eternal body that will be raised at the last day, and we will inhabit that body. Many people do not understand that, not at all. They think, well, this is this life, and when it's over, it's all over. No, it isn't. We do not cease to exist, and there is the future, and there is eternity. Now, that's the teaching of the Word of God, and all people will realize it. Those today as atheists who deny the existence of God and that they are created in the image of God and that there will be a judgment and a future life will learn someday that they've been wrong. I often say there'll be no atheists in hell in this sense. When they get to the judgment, the Apostle Paul says in Philippians 2, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. We'll know then that there is a God. And when they hear that sentence depart, and they'll go away into everlasting punishment, they will know that there is a God. No question about it. And that Jesus Christ is divine, the Son of God. Old Testament individuals believed in a future life. You take Abraham for an example. In Hebrews 11, the Bible says that he looked for a city whose builder and maker is God. He dwelt in tabernacles or tents in the land of Canaan, but he looked forward to that eternal home of the soul. But I like the statement that David gave to us in that beautiful 23rd Psalm when he said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And then he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And we want to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Apostle Paul in the Philippian letter said, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. He also mentioned the fact in verse 23, for me to depart and to be with Christ is far better. And Christians know that. How much better, I do not know. We cannot understand. But it's better to depart and to be with the Lord on the other side. And I will still be I. The book of Revelation not only tells us about heaven, the eternal home of the soul, but it also encourages us to remain faithful. When John was on the Isle of Patmos, the Lord's day, the first day of the week, the Lord appeared to him and gave him the scenes of heaven and told him to write. And all of those little short letters, the seven churches of Asia received letters. Everyone closes with this idea, he that overcometh shall inherit all things. Or he that overcometh will enter in the paradise of God. He that overcometh, I will not blot his name out of the book of life. Seven times, every one of them, he that overcometh. And one of them says, he, I'll be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. Be faithful even though you may die as a martyr. Heaven will be your home. Encouraging them. There were temptations. There were trials. There were persecutions. But if you want to go to heaven, you have to overcome. You have to remain faithful and steadfast. And so if you want to come over, you have to overcome. And then in chapter 21, after John had given some things about heaven, the beautiful home of the soul, he that overcomes or endureth to the end shall inherit all of these things. We often hear the expression, not everybody that talks about going to heaven is going there. Well, I'm sure that's right. But we must become Christians. We must remain faithful in the work of the Lord to go to heaven. And heaven is a prepared place for a prepared people. You remember in Acts 1, I think it's verse 25, when Peter was speaking of Judas Iscariot, who transgression failed, and selecting someone to take his place, he said, by transgression failed that he might go to his own place. Now, where did Judas go? Well, I'll leave that up to you, but I think you know about where he went. He went to his own place, the place he was prepared for, the place that people like him will go to. And I don't want to go to that place. You don't want to go to that place. We don't want to live in and act like Judas at the end of life. Sometimes I use this illustration in talking to people about you must prepare for heaven. It is a place, but it is a condition. What kind of people are going to be in heaven? Those that love the Lord, that do the Lord's will, that remain faithful. When John came to the close of that description of heaven, he said in verse 14 of chapter 22, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Who will enter in through the gates into the city? Those that love the Lord, that keep his commandments, that do his will. God wants everybody saved. No question about that. Jesus tasted death for every man. He wants all to come to repentance and none to perish. He loves you. He loves me. He loves us all. But who will go to heaven? There's the important part about it. Not only to think about the beauties and the joys of heaven, but the condition of those who will go to heaven to his own place. It is said that Polycarp was a disciple of the Apostle John in John's old age. And Polycarp was burned at the stake in A.D. 155. Many of the early Christians died a horrible death because they would not deny Christ and give it up. We think about wicked Nero, who perhaps beheaded the Apostle Paul before his death. But after Nero, there were other wicked rulers in the great nation of Rome. And there were going to be persecutions. And Jesus knew that. And so through John, he gives these letters. He uses figures of speech to describe the wickedness of rulers. But the point is, you remain faithful. Don't you give up. The young people tonight, and all of us, I think, especially, know what the catacombs are in and around Rome. I have visited in some of them, being in Rome. I've been to Rome twice. They went down there, dug out, to hide, to live, because they wanted to live. But many of them burned at the stake. Parts of the old theater, or rather the Colosseum, is standing today. And I, along with some others, stepped on the inside there, and the guide said, right down there is where many of the early Christians died, rather than to deny the Lord. There were lions that were caught, put over here in a cage or room. They were not fed for 2 or 3 days or given any water to drink, and so they were hungry. The time came for the persecution of Christians. They were put out down here in the center. And people came. The rulers maybe came. I looked around and thought about thousands of people like a football stadium. And then the lions were brought out. The door was open. And they came. And finally they found this cluster of Christians, men and women and young people, maybe locking arms and praying to the Lord. Begin to eat and to gnaw and to chew and to growl. And the people, thank the Lord, persecute the Christians, put them to death. And they died. And they said after it was all over, scrap up a few of the bones and wash them down to the Tiber River. Had a channel down to the Tiber River. What's heaven like? It's like those that love the Lord and won't give up and won't quit and remain faithful to the end of life's journey. That's what it means. Oh, how beautiful heaven must be. Yes, it's beautiful. But it's composed of those who are faithful and steadfast. I read that William Tyndale of Belgium was burned at the stake in A.D. 1536 as he wanted to get the Bible to the people. So the Lord time and again reminds, he that overcomes are the faithful ones. Now, let me think about heaven, and I'll not take the time to read those descriptions, the new heaven, new earth, and no death, no tears, separation, streets of gold, walls of jasper, and the height of it, the width of it, about, as we count furlongs, about 1,500 miles. When I was a student at Freed Hardeman, Brother G.C. Brewer came there for a meeting, and he talked about heaven, and he said, there was a man once in Alabama who came up to a preacher who had talked about heaven and said, I've got it all figured out about how many are going to go to heaven. They need so many square feet to live in, and I figured out how many could come in that square situation that was given by John. And the preacher said, well, you overlook something. It's as high as it is wide and long. So anyway, that's not it. Figures of speech. How are we going to look at it? I don't know. I've been in West Texas, and I preached in West Texas. Suppose a farmer from West Texas goes to New York City, and he sees the high buildings, and especially before 9/11, and the subways. And he comes back, and he says to his family, little boys and girls, maybe, well, I've been to New York City. Well, what's New York City like? Well, tall buildings. Little Johnny says, tall as Uncle John's silo? Oh, it's much taller than that. Woo. And then, too, I rode in the subway. Subway? What's a subway? Well, it's I don't know how you would say. It's something under the ground, and we get on like a streetcar or car, train, and we just ride under the ground. They have a hard time seeing that. If you've never been on a subway, you may have a hard time to understand it, but that's the way it is. Paris, London, New York. How can I understand heaven? I don't know. Beautiful, beyond anything we've ever seen. The joys, happiness of living together forever and forever. Then again, if we've been up in the cold country of Alaska, just suppose there's a father who reads some literature about the South Pacific, some island, beautiful flowers, palm trees, nice warm water, and beautiful beaches. And he says one day, we're going to move, and we're going to leave this place, and we're going to go. There's no ice, no snow, no polar bears, beautiful sunshine. Children can play along the beaches in the sand and in the water. Little Johnny says, let's go, Daddy, I want to go. Certainly. And so, how did John describe it? I like John's description. Yes, he says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying. The former things are all passed away. It won't be like this life. No tears, no pain, no heartaches. No sad farewells, no tear-dimmed eyes. Jack won't have any funeral services in heaven because there won't be any death. We'll be in immortal bodies. There'll be no cemeteries. That's heaven. That's what it's like. All of us know what sorrow is. We've all experienced it. But when we get to heaven, there'll be no more separation. No more. We'll live and never grow old in that beautiful eternal home of the soul. That's heaven. That's what it's like. I was preaching one time and I said, there'll be no cemeteries, no funeral services, and no doctors that'll be in heaven. No, that's not the way to say that. I mean, we will not need any doctors in heaven. That's right. We won't have any prescriptions to go and fill at the drugstore, will we? No. That's all over. And so John said, the former things are all passed away. It's not like this life. Not at all. And listen, we can't afford to miss heaven. We can't afford to. Regardless, we must put the Lord first, do the Lord's will, and go to heaven. I don't want to miss heaven. But I know one thing. Unless I'm a Christian and live the Christian life faithfully, I won't go to heaven. Many years ago, our family had what they call a homecoming. You know what that means, inviting the brothers and the sisters and grandchildren and cousins and uncles and aunts to try to get together and visit. Now, that's good. That's wonderful. I have a picture that was made at my home when that took place. I think it was in the year 1936. Most of them have gone on by this time. But there's going to be another homecoming of the children of God. There's going to be a homecoming. All of God's faithful children. But then too, I think of families being together. I want to go to heaven because I want to see our Lord who died for us on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ. But I want to meet the redeemed. I want to visit with Paul and Abraham and others. And I want to see Daddy and Mama. Because I was a little boy when Mama passed away. And I want her to know that Daddy kept on going to Sunday school and church after she'd gone on. That all three of us little boys were baptized, later preached and talked and worked in the Lord's service. I want to thank my daddy for the hard work that he did to help provide money that I might go to a Christian college. And all three of us went to a Christian school. I'd like to see Paul. I want to know something from Paul. I'm going to ask him some questions. Paul, what was your thorn in the flesh that you mentioned about in the 2 Corinthians letter? I never did know. And then, Paul, did you write the book of Hebrews or not? Some thought you did, and some didn't know whether you did or not. I'd like to know, did you? All other things we can find out when we all get to heaven. What a day of rejoicing that will be. But to me, the greatest of all, no death anymore. No tears, no heartaches, no sad farewells, but one eternal day of joy and peace and happiness. We will still be conscious. We will not lose our identity. And we can remember this life. Because it's indicated in Matthew 25 when Jesus said to those on the right hand, I was hungry and you fed me and thirsty, so on and so forth. And they say, well, Lord, when we do that, I don't remember doing that. But inasmuch as you did the least of these, my brethren, you did it unto me. Or you failed to do this. When? How? And when Lazarus and the rich man died, they were still in existence. And they were still conscious. And the rich man knew he had five brothers yet living in this world. Well, of course, that's in the Hadean realm. But we will still be the same. And we'll know each other. And be together. And I have the idea that those who worked so hard and did so much for the cause of Christ may be with a greater capacity to enjoy heaven than others. But all of us are going to enjoy it. And we'll live and never grow old. Yes? That, to me, is what heaven is like. And how I want to go to heaven. Now, we often sing the song, "We raid a place that's called heaven. It's made for the pure and the free. These truths in God's word he has given. How beautiful heaven must be. Fair haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be." And then again, "This world, however beautiful, was never meant to be the place that we would call our home for all eternity. And though we would not choose to leave, a loving God knows best, and in his time he lifts us to a place of rest. For he has built a mansion where his children will abide, free from pain and sorrow, forever at his side. And though these ones we love so much have left our present sight and passed into a better world of majesty and light, someday we'll be together in our Father's house above, where we'll thank him for his mercy and praise him for his love." And that's right. I hope that we can all be together. But there's another song that we sometimes sing, "Will the Circle Be Unbroken?" By and by. Sometimes when we have family reunions, not all are there. Maybe they've passed on. Or maybe they live so far away or sick or something they can't go. And we usually say, "Well, we miss so-and-so and so-and-so. Wish they could be here." Will the family circle be together in heaven? Think about it. And we'll be with mama and daddy and the brothers and the sisters, husbands and wives. Can we enjoy heaven together? I want to preach, as Jack mentioned. That's all I've ever done all of my life and all I intend to continue to do as long as I'm physically, mentally able to do it. Because I want to say something that may help somebody to learn the Lord's will and obey the gospel, be baptized into Christ and become a Christian and live the Christian life and go to heaven. I know the Bible is God's book and the only divine book in the world. I want to do all that I can with the help of many brethren to get Bibles into all parts of the world. And there are many places today in our world where people do not have access to the Word of God. There are people who are poor and who need Bibles. I've learned the last few years the value of it. And for people to say, "Now I have a Bible of my own that I can read." And sometimes I have been told by individuals, "Well, I read your tracts and I learned the truth and I was baptized. You helped me to understand it." Well, that's good. I hope somebody may be able to say that to me in heaven. I don't know. Well, how it'll be. But I'm going to do all the good that I can, for as many as I can, and for as long as I can. Jack, I wouldn't mind living another 90 years and preaching the gospel and keep on coming here to 39th Street and being a part of your lectureship. I feel like that's the way we ought to feel about it. I'm interested in the souls, your soul, my soul. I can't afford to go to heaven without telling people what the Lord said do to be saved from sin. Jesus said, "Preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." I must preach that. "Or on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins, the forgiveness of your sins." I do not want to go to the judgment having never preached that. I think I'd be lost. And I wish preachers would realize that today. Regardless of how many will preach it or will not preach it, I want to preach it. I intend to preach it because I want to tell people what the Bible says and ask people to do the Lord's will that heaven may be their home. And I don't think that we can meet at the judgment bar of God and for someone to accuse me not doing the Lord's will along that line. I want souls saved. I want to tell members of the church who wandered away, God loves you. You need to come back be restored, be faithful. And John said, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I want to say to people, you can come back home. You can be forgiven. God loves you. He wants you to be faithful. And you can be. Put the Lord's church first. Say, I will not be unfaithful. I will be faithful because I want to go to heaven. And I hope that you do. I know you do in a way, but you must realize that. And that Jesus said we must love him more than we do father or mother or brother or sister or husband or wife or even our own souls, our own life. That's a reason why some of the early Christians could go to the stake singing a song, realizing I'll be burned to death in a few minutes' time, or to be in the Rito at Rome to be eaten by lions, because to depart and to be with Christ is much better. It's much better. So regardless, Jesus said, fear not them that can kill the body. They cannot destroy you. They cannot destroy your soul. So regardless, be faithful. Be faithful. If you're wandered away, come back home. Please do that now, tonight. Ask our song leader to sing that beautiful invitation song softly and tenderly. Jesus is calling. And he is. Calling for you and for me. Come home. Come home. Come on back home. Don't stay away. Don't be unfaithful any longer. Come back home. There are loved ones who want you to come. The Lord wants you to come. And you won't go to heaven when life is over. Come home. Come home. Let us stand and sing.
sing.